All right, it's good to good to have all of you here this morning. Glad to have those who are visiting with us, as well as those of you that are part of the family. And visitors immediately become part of the family when they join us. Those that might be listening out in the parking lot, or those that are listening later on the website, we're so glad that you've joined us as well as we celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all the things for which we're thankful. It's good to be in God's house. It's good to worship Him, to love Him, to thank Him. And we're so glad that you're a part of it. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, even as we bow before you this morning, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for all the wonderful things that you've given us. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for the food that we have. We thank you for the homes that we have. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thank you for just what brothers and sisters in the Lord mean to each of us. But most of all, we thank you for Jesus. Lord, to be thankful that He came from heaven, died on a cross, took our sin upon Himself, that we might be forgiven and live with you forever. Lord, we're so grateful. We just bless the name of Jesus. What a precious, holy name it is. And Father, today we thank you that the precious Holy Spirit is here with us, that He's speaking to the hearts of each person that's listening, whether here or in the parking lot or later on the web. Thank you that there's no time or distance with you. And so, Father, we just pray now that as each of us are here, as each of us are worshiping you, you know what our needs are, you know what our situation is, what our home life, what our work life is. And so, Father, I pray now that you might bring honor and glory to yourself through all that's done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning, everyone. We welcome you to Barbie's Grove this morning for worship, a time of worship, a time of being thankful. Our Sunday school lesson this morning, we talked about the fact that when you walk through that door this morning, we hope you're thankful people. We indeed have a lot to be thankful for. And our hymn sing this morning is part of that, and that is page 637. It'll also be on the board for you if you wish to do it. Come, ye thankful people, come. We'll sing together this morning the hymn sing. And we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4 as we stand, please.
So, Lord, quickly come, bring forever purified in thy presence to abide. Come with all thine angels, come raise the glorious harvest home. And everybody said amen. Welcome someone this morning. All right. I have some announcements I want to share with you at this time, if I may. First, I want to make sure that we know that the Baptist Children's Home annual offering is in effect, and that we're doing it now, and also that we will be, this month will be the annual offering for the NC Baptist Children's Home, and we will be collecting offering during the month of November for the Baptist Children's Home. The theme this year is Light the Darkness, and I think that is a beautiful thing. We've talked about the Children's Home before many, many times, and most of you has visited there before, and you know what a great, great organization that is, and how it makes homes for the homeless and for the homeless children. And we are so thankful that we can be a part of that. Your money and your offerings reaches out and helps them as they go. The Christmas card directory and the Lottie Moon is back here in the back. Be sure you, before you go that way, come back here and get your Christmas card directory and Lottie Moon. That way you can send everybody a Christmas card, and we'll do the postage like we always do. You make your donation for it, and then the cards will be given out as usual. But you need to have your cards in by December the 15th. And if you're like me, by the 14th, and Kathy will get them here by 15th or something like that. We'll all get here. We'll all have them here. I wasn't going to pick on you quite that much, Kathy. I was not.
I own it.
I also want to remind you that there is a note in the bulletin about church conference, a call conference for next Sunday. That will not be the case. So please, the call conference has been canceled. Canceled for next Sunday. Now let's talk about the Boston Butt Barbecue. I want you to know that's coming up here, and that's going to be, you see it up on the board now, December the 11th from 9 to 12. It'll all be drive-through. You'll come and pick them up, and we'll have them ready for you. Now, if you want to order something, we have a kind of little thing going on between us men about who can sell the most. I have an order sheet here, so just bring your orders. And I have it. I can take it. I've already taken some orders this morning, and I got a lot of room left on this sheet.
We gave you them orders.
I got a lot of room left on this sheet here, so y'all just come on up here and talk to me, and that'll be good. But no, see somebody, remember the Baptist men, and we'll do that. And the boss. Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
It's men that didn't get sheets. I've got them. So see me after the service, and I'll get you a sheet. We need you to sell these. We can't make no money if we don't sell
them. That's right. That's exactly right. I also want to remind you one other thing. There'll be no Bible study Wednesday night. We normally do that on the Wednesday night prior to Thanksgiving. We honor those that will be cooking and for taking care of. Plus, you might want to travel to some of your families, and we try to honor that fact. So there'll be no Bible study here Wednesday night. So mark your calendars to that effect. All right, is there any announcements that I may have overlooked? I have one thank you card that I want to share with the church this morning. It says, thank you for your words of sympathy, your voices of concern, your gestures of caring, and the love you offer. Words cannot express how thankful I feel to have a church family that has helped me get through this difficult time. I pray that God will bless all and all of you. I plan to get back to next week. I love you all very, very much, Jewel, Darren, Shannon, and the family. And that's a great family, and we hope that they've all promised me that they'll be back at church, and that would be great. Also, Jewel has included a donation to the church as well, so we thank Jewel for her kindness for there. All right, that's all the announcements I have then. On our prayer list, we need to have our prayers. I have several from the prayer list that I have been given, And let's continue to remember Jewel as she is. Let's remember Lynn Honeycutt. Lynn Honeycutt, now this is Dina Honeycutt's son that they used to come here years ago. And but Lynn is in hospice care, I understand. So his situation is grave. So let's remember that. Let's remember the families. We've got several families that have experience in death. The David Wernick family, Wayne Udy family, James Howell. Now that is Angela and Anna's grandfather. Logan Boone. We've got Helen Gathy and Beatrice Mason. Now Beatrice is the grandmother of Gail Perkins' husband. Right?
Mother.
Is that mother? Mother.
Sorry. Mother.
I'll get
David
it right.
Mom.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I got that wrong. But anyway, so let's remember Gail and the family. As they mourn the loss of Beatrice Mason. Do I have other people for the prayer list? Yes, Bobby.
Well, first of all, thank everybody for prayers.
Yes.
I'm doing much better. And then also Charles Hutchins made that the family out.
Yes, okay. Okay.
And then you can take me off the list. I'm rotten through the cord, so I don't know if that's going to help me.
Yeah. Well, I understand you had an MRI, and was it the brain too? I just wondered if they found anything.
Now it's all there.
I'm teasing you, Bobby. I'm glad you're here this morning. I was feeling kind of tough because I hadn't called you. So thank God you're here and feeling well this morning. Evan still got some treatments to go and on the other hip, and we need to keep Evan in our prayer as well. Anyone else this morning?
I have a couple.
Yes.
I got a praise report.
Okay.
James Breslin is on our prayer list. He's been there for a while. He's the husband of one of my best friends in our counselor at school.
Okay.
They have moved to a new home, or not new, but new to them, that is one floor that allows him to move. He had a stroke.
Okay.
He had to have some of his skull removed.
Mm-hmm.
He had his skull put back. He's doing well with
Wonderful.
That. They've moved into a home that will allow him to be more mobile and move around. So God has been good in answering prayers. He still has a long way to go. He's a young man. He's under 50 and had this stroke and all of this. So just continue to pray for them as they have a new normal. But God has worked tremendously in that situation. Also, our nephew, great-nephew James Johnson and his family, will y'all just I'll continue to lift him up? You know, my niece passed away 3 months ago, and they're still struggling. So please pray that God will continue to intervene and bless and provide solutions to problems that are there.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Yes, Will.
I would like to pray for the Horton family. My friend Tyler Horton.
Morgan. Horton. Okay, I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
My friend Tyler Horton's grandpa, he passed away the other day.
Okay.
I just want to keep that family in their prayers.
All right, will do, Will. Yeah. Yes, Kenny.
Former co-worker Roger Starnes.
Roger Starnes, okay. Anyone else? All right, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, in with thanksgiving. We come to you in praising who you are. Lord, we know that you're awesome God. Lord, we know that you're able. And Lord, we know that you're in control. But Lord, as we come to you this morning, we want to thank you first. Thank you for the blessings you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for us being able to be here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for our visitors this morning who are with us. They are indeed our special guests, and we thank you for them. But then, Lord, there are those of us among us that are hurting this morning, and, Lord, we want to lift them up to you by name. We pray, Lord, for Lynn Honeycutt, who, Lord, is in the hospice house. We know his situation is grave, but it's not too big for you. We pray for healing for his body. We're thankful for Bobby Williams and, Lord, his praise report this morning. We ask you continue to bless he and Janice. The Charles Hutchins family, Lord, we pray for that family this morning as they're going through a time of hardship and grief. We pray for Eve Ann and continue to pray for her as she goes forward now with more tests and more procedures that has to be done. We pray, Lord, for James Breslin and his family. We pray and the praise report that has been given already. And then for James Johnson family, we pray for them. And for Roger Starnes and Tyler Horton, we lift him up to you, Lord, and the family, Lord, this morning. And then, Lord, those who they are families, Lord, who have lost loved ones. And we want to remember that family this morning as the Jane Warnick family, the David Warnick family, Wayne Udy, Lord, the James Howell family, Annabelle Spates, we pray for that family, for Logan Broom, for Helen Gathy, for that family, and Bertice Mason, we pray for them. We ask, Lord, now you continue to bless us all, Lord, as we are here in this time of worship. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that we are able to worship this morning and lift your name up above all others. Thank you for Pastor Ed, who will be coming to us soon to be able to give us the message for today. Thank you, Lord, for each one who have a part today. And, Lord, for these blessings, Lord, we're so thankful for you and for the many blessings we give in your name. Amen. Okay, this morning we're going to have a song of praise. And let's see, I got it here somewhere. Song of praise. What page? 359. It's 359. This is the day that the Lord has made. I lost my track there for a second. This is the day the Lord has made. As we all stand and sing, it's a beautiful chorus. And we're going to repeat it one time just in case we need to remember it over again a little bit. This is the day the Lord has made. Kathy. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. And children, you're all released. You're dismissed. Didn't quite sound right, did it?
You know, in the Sunday school lesson this morning, Leonard mentioned creation. And I'm going to start right where he mentioned. You remember, as God created various things, he kept saying, it's good. It's good. When he finished, he said, it's very good. All was well, all was good, all was wonderful, all was perfect. But you know, in the Garden of Eden, fake news and negative news started. That's how far back. It's not a new invention. It's not something that's come up in the last few years. Did God say you can't eat any of the trees in the garden? If you eat of that tree, you won't die. Don't you know that God's trying to hide something good and wonderful from you? He's cheating you out of a blessing. And if you'll just eat of that tree, it's going to all be different. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Negative, fake news. And it's been the rule of the land ever since. I've said this before. I grew up in a family that always saw the glass half empty. And worse than that, it was leaking fast. Negative news sells. Whether you flip on your TV, your computer, your cell phone, or you pick up a newspaper, how bad COVID is, how bad the climate is, how somebody's gotten too much rain and somebody's not gotten enough. Where's the latest murders? Where's the latest shootings? Where's the latest riots? Where's the latest problem with this or that or the other? Or which politicians hate which politicians? And it goes on and on and on with the negative news. Quite frankly, it's enough to depress a person if you watched it long enough. That's why I watch just enough or see just enough to know what's going on without getting depressed. Now, if there was ever anybody that should have been a gloom, doom, and despair person, a depressed individual, it was the Apostle Paul. You think about what Paul testified. He was jailed. He was beaten. He was whipped. And that's the difference. They were beaten with rods or whipped. He was stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He was hated and opposed by his former allies in the Jewish hierarchy of faith. He talks about being in perils of robbers, in perils in the deep, in perils here, there, and yonder. If there was ever anybody that should have been depressed, it was the Apostle Paul. Now, he didn't forget his troubles. He didn't forget what was wrong and all the bad experiences. But yet, Paul was one of the more positive, upbeat, happy individuals in all the Bible. We're going to look at some scriptures that Paul wrote. Just to remind you, first is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice evermore. Are you serious? Rejoice all the time. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In every situation be thankful. Now that takes a move of the Spirit in your life to do that. Because we love to moan, groan, and complain. And being thankful is not usually our first nature. But Paul says in every situation you can be thankful. You think about Paul and Silas in that jail in Philippi, beaten, bloody, locked in stocks. I mean, they didn't even have free roam of the jail cell. They were in the inner prison, the most sewer-like place in the whole prison. And yet, here it is midnight, and they're not saying, Paul, Silas, you ever get me in this, I'll never be in this position again. As soon as I get out of here, I'm going home. I'm resigning my missionary position. I'm over with this. I didn't sign up for this kind of problem. No, what do you find? They're singing praises. They're singing praises loud enough that it says all the other prisoners heard them. In the middle of such a mess, and God intervened. They were set free. They were cleaned up. Their wounds were bound up, and the jailer and his family got saved, and a church was born. Because in the middle of a bad situation, Paul still could say, thank you, Lord. I don't understand it. I don't like the pain. I don't like the difficulty. But I still praise you, Lord. And his pain was just as real as your pain would be and my pain would be if we were in that situation. But he learned to praise the Lord, and God won a wonderful victory out of it. Now flip on over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 1, the first phrase in the verse. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. There's that word again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord because you know who He is and you know He's got your back and you know He's looking after you. Rejoice in the Lord. And then verse 4 of, no, chapter 4, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. What a positive attitude Paul had. Rejoice in the Lord. All the ways, all the time. And he says again, I say, rejoice. This is not a gloom and doom and depressed guy. He's dealing with reality, and yet he's saying, listen, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Rejoice. Be joyful in worshiping your Lord. Be joyful in serving your Lord. And then there's the verse 8. And I wish I'd have known that verse a long time ago. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, Paul tells us where to focus. He tells us where to focus. You learn to rejoice and be thankful when you learn how to focus your thoughts on the right things. Now, you can't stop the devil from putting wrong thoughts in your mind. I mean, there may be thoughts of fear, lust, depression, anger, hatred, unforgiveness, mistrust of God. upset with God. There are all kinds of negative thoughts that the devil will put into your mind. Now, what you do with them is up to you. Even though I was a Christian 60 years ago, I thought, okay, the devil gave me this thought and I just got to run with it. I can't help it. I mean, it's there. And I just mull over it and mull over it and mull over it and go on down the road mulling over it. Thank the Lord I learned that I don't have to do that. And you don't either. When those negative thoughts, those ungodly thoughts come to your mind, you can indeed dwell on them and dwell on them and dwell on them. Or you can say, devil, we're not going there today. We're not going that way today, devil. You can just take those thoughts and take them right on back to hell where they originated. I'm not dealing with them today. And you know, in my life, the sooner I do that, the better I am. Now, sometimes, you know, one of those thoughts come and for about 3 or 4 minutes, I'm trailing down that ugly path. And then all of a sudden I realize, what are you doing, son? You don't have to do that. And you back up and you go in the other direction. And Paul says, focus your thoughts on these things. Now in the King James, it has the words just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise. In the Passion Translation, it has the words authentic, real, honorable, holy, pure, admirable, beautiful, respectful, merciful, and kind. In the Amplified Bible, it has true, worthy of reverence, honorable and seemly, just, pure, lovely and lovable, kind, winsome, gracious, virtue, excellence, worthy of praise. You think about all the good things, all the lovely things, the pure things. As I wrote about in the newsletter this week, and as Leonard mentioned in the Sunday school lesson, think about people that you love. People that mean a lot to you. I'm so grateful for Christian brothers and sisters all over the world. And as I said in the newsletter, some of them I see regularly. Some of them I see occasionally. Some of them I don't expect to see till I get to glory, but I expect to see them there. And what a thrill it is when you get a card or a text or an email that says, thinking about you, praying for you. It's so wonderful to think about the good things, the lovely things, the wonderful things. The smile on a mom's face when she looks at her child. The loving trust of a little child who says, love you, Papa. Love you, Grammy. When you think about, hey, my sins are forgiven. I'm free. I've got a home in heaven. Jesus loves me. I have the precious Holy Spirit to guide and to teach me. I have all kinds of blessings. And Paul says, listen, rejoice evermore. And one of the ways to learn to rejoice is to learn to focus your thoughts in a positive way. To focus your thoughts in a way that will lead you to see the good and the godly. And all of us can learn to do that. And what a blessing it becomes when we, instead of allowing the devil to fill us with all of his garbage, we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with all the blessings of God. And notice, it's a choice. It's a choice. I can't choose for you. You can't choose for me. But you get to choose what you will spend your time remembering, pondering, and meditating upon. You get a choice. Paul says, think on these things. Think on these things that are a blessing. Let's go take this a step further. Why did Paul tell us to do this? Why did Paul tell us to do this? See, just writing, you know, he's just saying, well, I got to write something to these Philippians, so I'll just write this. Look at what he says in verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. First, he says, listen, you learn to think in a godly way, and God's peace, the God of peace, is going to be with you. Paul had learned that God's not some angry tyrant up in the sky with a lightning bolt just waiting to zap you. He learned that he was the God of love, God of mercy, and a God of peace. And he says, when you learn to focus on God in this way, that God of peace is with you. Don't you love it when you get to be around somebody that's just an ideal companion? I imagine some of you have some friends. You can get in the car and doesn't matter which one of you is driving. You can ride 100 miles and just there's just a peace, a calm in the car. Or maybe it's sitting on the front porch in rockers and just you may share a little bit and just be quiet for a little bit, but there's just the peace. How wonderful it is that we can be with the God of peace can reside with us. Paul says you get your mind the right way. Now, if we got our mind over here and the devil's just stirring and stirring and stirring all this ugly negative stuff, the God of peace is over there saying, well, I'd love to get into that, but they've made a choice. But if we learn to choose to focus rightly, then the God of peace is with us. Turn with me now to 1 Timothy chapter 1. When we learn to focus, the God of peace is with us. Now another reason we learn to focus on these things is a reminder of God's saving grace in our life. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. No, wait a minute. I'm in the wrong Timothy. Sorry about that. 1 Timothy. We'll get back to that one in a minute. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Folks, Paul was saying, listen, I can rejoice because I knew what I once was. I knew the grace of God, and I know what I am now. If you realize you're saved and you're on your way to heaven and not to hell, that's a reason enough to rejoice 24/7. There are billions of people in this world that don't know that yet. But you do, and I do. And praise the Lord for salvation. Praise the Lord that He delivered us. Paul says, I rejoice and I focus on the wonderful thing, a fact that God looked at my messed up, sinful, ugly, injurious life and He had mercy on me and He saved me. The God of peace, we do it also because of God's saving grace. Now let's go to 2 Timothy 1 where I was a moment ago. Because it's all good. For the which cause, verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Amen. You can praise the Lord because God's going to keep what you've committed unto Him. You walked an aisle and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or as one man told me, he knelt down between the rows in the cornfield. And the preacher in his white suit knelt down right beside of him and he accepted Jesus right there in that cornfield. It didn't matter. But we made a commitment of our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, listen, I know that He's going to keep what I committed to Him until that day. Jesus said, those that belong to me are in my hand and nobody takes them out of my hand. Those that belong to me are in my Father's hand and nobody's going to take them out of my Father's hand. It's always fun to play with some little kids, you know, and you've got a marble or something that they want and you take your hand and they're prying and prying and prying and they can't get it. Of course, you know, you're just teasing them a little bit and then you give them what they want, but they don't have the strength to take it out of your hand. And the devil and all the demons in hell can't take you out of the Father's hand. Paul says, I know what I've committed and I know He's going to hold on to it. That's enough to rejoice. That's enough to shout praises. That's enough to just give glory to God. That's enough to keep our focus on that which is good. And then one more verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Paul says, rejoice, you got a crown. There's a crown of waiting for you because of your love and your service and you're looking for the Lord's appearing. Isn't that great? How can we be depressed and gloomed and despair when we focus on the fact that right over in glory there's a Lord waiting to hand me a crown. And I can lay it back at His feet as a sign of worship. Folks, as we think about Thanksgiving, let's look at the life of Paul, a man who had much that could have made him negative, but a man who kept saying, rejoice, Rejoice. Rejoice. Give thanks. Focus your mind on that which is good and just and pure and holy. Because you know you want the presence of the God of peace. You know what a wonderful thing it was that the grace of God saved you. You know that He'll able to keep what you committed to Him. And nobody will ever take you out of His hand. And you know that you have a crown waiting for you in glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for His great, great blessing in our lives. I pray that you entered the presence of the Lord with thanksgiving. I pray that you'll leave here with even more thanksgiving and praise. And don't let the devil fill your mind with negative garbage. Let the Lord fill you with praise. And oh, what a blessing. And your whole outlook will be changed. You won't see the glass half full. You'll see the glass overflowing with the blessing of the Lord. May we pray. Lord, I thank you again for all the blessings that are ours. And Father, I pray your blessings upon this people. And all who hear this message. Lord, when we start to think the unthinkable ugly, just remind us that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can think the godly and the lovely, the just and the pure, the virtuous, the wholesome. Father, we sure do thank you for all of those wonderful things that you have for us. We thank you for what you have done for us. And we thank you for what you're going to do for us. And Father, we thank you for that crown that's waiting. Thank you for that reuniting with our loved ones and our reuniting with you. Thank you, Father. And Father, if there's any person that's listening that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they can't rejoice because their future's doom, gloom, and despair and eternal separation from God. Father, today I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts, draw them to Jesus. Oh, Father, may they say yes. May they make a commitment that you will keep for all of eternity. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord be gracious unto you, the Lord make his countenance to shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.